Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before I start this week's episode of Behind the Glass, let me tell you quickly about a new sponsor that has come on board, Active Digital. We are always so grateful when people want to support this podcast. And Active Digital's co-founder, Richard, is an insanely interesting car guy. When you find out some of the cars he previously owned and some of the cars he currently owns, I think your minds will be blown. So Richard's actually going to be joining us for a special episode in the weeks ahead. But Active Digital are actually a business mobile provider, an award-winning business mobile provider, a brother and sister organization. They've been providing mobile and digital solutions for over 2 decades, giving clients a wealth of knowledge and expertise. As an Apple reseller, Active Digital provides mobile devices, iOS apps, and cloud services to UK organizations, including the GB Olympic teams. They work closely with UK mobile networks, and in 2020, they were awarded the Telefonica O2 Director's Choice Partner of the Year. Now, excitingly, they've decided to give away a set of AirPods Pro to one lucky Behind the Glass listener. So all you have to do is head over to the Active Digital YouTube channel and leave a comment on their latest video saying, "Seen Through Glass sent me." Then a winner will be picked at random and announced in a later episode of Behind the Glass. So yes, huge thank you to Active Digital for their support. I cannot wait to get Richard on so he can talk to you about some of the incredible cars in his garage. Please do go over, check out the YouTube channel. If you have any business mobile needs, they should be able to sort you out. But don't forget to enter that giveaway for a set of AirPods Pros. Anyway, for now, on with the episode. Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, the podcast which aims to take you behind the scenes of the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, as well as the automotive and social media worlds. I'm your host, Sam, from that YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and alongside me, as almost always, it is of course Mr. Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Hello.
How you doing, sir?
All right.
Had a good week? As well, I said it's Monday evening.
Have you recorded this? We've got to do a pre-record, mate.
I've got it all set up, so you've when we start season 4...
In 2022.
In the new studio, we're going to do a whole new intro.
Okay.
Pre-recorded, sharper, sweeter, crisper, and then straight into the chat.
I wonder how many takes we'll do with that. No, it's going to be painful. Set a day aside.
If you guys want an insight into these recording sessions, it usually starts with me attempting this intro 15 times, maybe even going like 6 or 7 minutes of chat into the podcast, and then usually I have a bit of a panic, think we're not doing very good, and I tell Tony we've got to start again.
Or we sit for 6 or 7 minutes just talking to get levels.
Yeah, levels. Oh, the levels kill me though. It's this desk. I'm a big fan of all Rode products, and maybe some audio nerds out there can help me on this. On the desk, if I've got things looking good on levels, they're then not level on the computer. So anyway, this is really boring, isn't it?
It's boring me.
I apologise. If you're watching here on the YouTube channel, hello. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. If you're listening to us, thank you so much for listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And of course, a big shout out to our patrons. We love you. We adore you. You support this podcast. You make this podcast happen. And a special shout out to a few this day. This day?
Today.
This day in 1955. Anyway, today. Ibby2fan. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Ibby. Dave F, Josh Woodford. Josh, I love you, Josh. I'm just gonna say that.
Why?
I think he's a legend. I've met Josh a few times.
Oh, cool.
And he's been around for a while. He's supported the channel, whether it's Seen Through Glass, Drive the World, now the podcast. I just always see him. He's always there.
Good.
He's like a good familiar face, familiar friend. So yeah, Josh, cheers, pal. Kev Arklis and Pete Williams. You guys in particular, we are loving this week, but we love all patrons. If you want to support this podcast, if you want to help us out, help decorate the studio, which is what's happening right now. I've got a load of builders in there, which we could watch them on my Ring device if we wanted to.
You've got a Ring
device? Yeah, that's not an ad, but so I can live stream into the studio right
really?
Now. We can see what they're doing. Stop drinking tea.
Get
they
on with it.
They will definitely be doing that.
They will be drinking tea, won't they? Anyway, I think we powered through that admin section. I'm quite pleased with that. We are still in my flat because, yes, we have not quite moved into the new studio yet, but it is any minute now. I'm hoping that the builders will be finished this week. I mean, I say builders. It's literally two guys and some paintbrushes. I'm not going all JWW and I'm sort of going to go, the reveal! And spent £400,000 on a room. This is very much like, I just don't know how to paint.
So you haven't got a TDF going in there?
I haven't got a TDF going in there. I do have some other cool cars going in there.
Really? Not your 360?
No. Because I at the current point, I'm not certain the building is going to stay standing for that long.
Well, so, I'd leave it in there then.
No! Put your GT3 RS in there. Oh, wait, you don't have one anymore.
I've sold it.
I hate you so much. Anyway, when we go in there, when we finally move across the studio, you better be nice.
I will be nice.
I don't want you being in there every single episode. Oh, there's a rat down there.
Well, will there be?
Yeah, maybe. Give Twiggy something to do.
Yeah, or I'll be pointing at Twiggy.
No, don't be horrible. Twiggy's not here today. She's on a small holiday. She's taking a week off.
It's a vacation from you.
She's a vacation from me, obsessing and molesting over her. Should we talk about some cars?
Shall we?
Yeah, 5 minutes of non-car related chat. I think people have probably switched off. If you are still listening, hello. We're going to get into it because I've just arrived at my flat for this podcast recording in quite an exciting car.
You have arrived in a very exciting car. A car that I considered buying.
I think you tried to buy.
I think I probably did.
There was a period of time, maybe a year or 18 months ago, when this was your sole obsession. You were like, I will have one of those cars.
You're right. And I didn't get an allocation. I was fuming. And then I was kind of glad I didn't get an allocation. And then I went back to it and I spoke to you at length on WhatsApp and you said, oh mate, don't get one of them. I mean, I don't really know what you're doing. Get a Touring or get something else or...
Bore off.
And now...
Now you want a 620R. No.
And now you've talked yourself back into it because you've driven it.
Well, shall we say what it is? Because people at this point...
Well, you
point
can, might be, yeah. I mean, I didn't want to disclose it because I didn't know if I could.
No, you can. I have just picked up today a 911 Speedster for the week. A brand... Well, not brand new. It's actually got 2,000 miles on the clock. But the new 991 variant of the 911 Speedster, which I have to say, huge thanks to Porsche UK, because this isn't really a press car. It's a car which they do keep at the Porsche Experience at Silverstone. I think you can use it there. But anyway, it's based there and they don't really give it out that often, but I begged and I pleaded.
They love you, mate.
Well, I don't know if they do, but I do love Porsche and I make that quite... I think they knew it was safe hands. I wasn't going to get in it and go, oh, this is a load of crap. I was always going to enjoy it. So they both thought, I'll just give it to that idiot.
He'll what Porsche have you ever been in that is a load of crap? I mean, they don't make crap.
We're going to come back to that later. but yes, so super cool. Now, full disclosure, I was supposed to be taking the car up to Scotland on a big old trip and adventure. But with the way of the world, the way of the UK, the way of COVID, I decided it probably wasn't the best idea. So instead, I'm going to be doing some sort of content in and around this area in a bit more of a safe and contained way. But I do plan on spending every single waking minute of the day in that thing.
As you should.
I mean, I literally drove it back from Silverstone and, well, I shouldn't say anymore. It's coming soon to a video on Seen Through Glass. But very cool. And this week, if that wasn't already exciting enough, another exciting thing for me this week, Tony, I'm picking up a new car.
What?
Well, I never know how you say this. I'm picking up a car. I'm collecting a car. It's not new.
Okay. It's new to you.
Thank you. Because it's very, I think people say that anyway, maybe it's a YouTube thing. My new car, a 1938. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, but, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say my 360 then. But yeah, so a car is joining the STG garage this week.
New to you?
New to me. Very exciting.
Does your main channel know this yet?
No. This is an exclusive reveal for the podcasters because you guys are just OGs. We love you.
So the patrons are going to get this first because they get this week before.
Patrons have got this first. So oh yeah, actually, that's a good point. Patrons... Maybe it's coming out in 2 weeks. Sorry.
Balls this right.
I've confused myself with the release schedule. Those of you who aren't patrons and listening going, what are they talking about? Patrons get Behind the Glass episodes early. They get them before you guys do.
So sign up,
yeah. So you can also find out about secret reveals like this. But essentially, tomorrow, I'm going to go and collect this car. And then I aim to be revealing it at the weekend.
Are you bringing it to me?
You're gonna check it out. You're gonna look over it and tell me how much I've overspent. But we're not gonna say anything more. I don't want to reveal anything.
Okay, fine.
But very exciting because it's been a while since I've had a new car join the garage.
New used car.
New, yeah. Thank you. Yes, new used car. And it's no, I don't want to say anything else.
No, that's don't it. Say anything. Yeah.
mate, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been at work.
I mean, well, I know. It's been good. It's been busy.
It was busy today, yeah. It's Monday today, by the way. Yeah, I can say that.
Yeah, no,
you can. I've been busy today. Last week was a little bit quiet. But, okay. You know, everyone in the motor trade is moaning because it's quietened down a bit. But this is always the worst quarter of the year. October, November, December.
That's literally what I was going to ask. Okay, so explain that more in a second. But also, is there a shift in buying patterns? Not only is it quieter, do you suddenly see everyone stepping away from... You don't really sell MX-5s, but you know, like S3s and whatever, into Range Rovers, or how does it work?
Yeah, so in the we've said this before, but in the olden days, you'd have a sports car in the summer and then something SUV in the winter. SUVs sell all year round now.
Okay,
it does become more popular this time of year. Obviously, people getting into SUVs. The sports car market doesn't die, but it tails right off.
Sure, okay. Stuff so sticks around longer, basically. The demand isn't there.
Yeah.
Is the stock there? Like, are people bringing in cars for sale?
Yeah, so people generally will be trying to swap their sports car for an SUV. And then in the spring again, people come out of their SUVs, go back into sports car. That's traditionally the way.
Sure.
But like I said, SUVs sell all year round now.
So that's kind of bucked the trend, basically.
Yeah, but the motor trade in general is always peaks and troughs. I mean, we've had an unusual 4 months because we had a terrible start to the year, obviously. But this quarter, this last quarter of the year, is always more tough in the motor trade.
Slow, steady.
Slows down.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not like the end of the world. We're still...
On both ends?
Right across the board, mate.
Okay.
Like, it does, it just slows down.
Because I know, sort of, once lockdown had lifted in the UK and in England at least, you know, sort of back in June, there was a lot of talk, I feel like across dealerships, of a stock issue, you know, like a supply issue. Basically, people couldn't get hold of stock, and you always saw, even yourself, you know, sort of basically crying out for more stock, which I know you're still doing. So
yeah, anyway, of course.
If you want to sell your car, give Tony a call. But so... Firstly, has that kind of evened out or relaxed a bit? And then secondly, is that what's going on now? It's just people not really, the stock is kind of dwindling a bit during the winter. And then also people aren't really shopping around. People think, oh, I'll wait till February and pick up something. Is that kind of what happens?
So stock is still hard to come by. Okay. Because of COVID, because there's no new cars essentially, or what new cars there are, people don't necessarily want. So there's a big waiting list for new cars. That will continue into next year because as this pandemic takes hold again, the manufacturers are going to be even shorter on staff. And so, you know, the conveyor belt slows down again. So that will be for a while yet. So used cars prices will be okay. What will change used car prices is not that. It will be the recession, people losing their jobs. So what will happen there is that the used car market will get flooded with cars again because people have to sell their cars or change them. So they're changing for cheaper stuff and they sell their more expensive stuff. So, but that doesn't really affect dealers. I expect that to carry on into quarter two next year in terms of, and then I think we're going to have a bit of a lull as you know,
everything will
not hit bottom, but I think there's going to be some adjustments.
And can I just say, I mean, not to blow smoke up your bum, but to definitely pat you on the back, I think, you know, back at the start of the year when all this started to kick off and a few people lost their heads and there was a sort of lot of talk about, oh, well, the car market's going to fall out its arse and et cetera, et cetera. You remained calm and your sort of prediction at the time was, you look, you know, everything's going to go on hold. we're not going to suddenly be in a situation where come the summer or whatever, you're going to be picking up Aventadors for 100 grand. Your prediction was everything would kind of hold, that there would be a sort of a lack of supply, but maybe an increase in demand, et cetera, et cetera. And you have sort of, you know, been proven correct in that sense, where I suppose over the summer, we haven't seen insane drops of value. You know, it's continued that sort of downward trend that supercars have over the last couple of years. We're not big over inflation or big overs for cars. Things have just slowly been trickling down. But you're thinking that, and I'm feeling as well, that maybe over the next 6 months or so is when we are going to start to see things maybe just soften off even a bit more.
Yeah, so what I said 6 months ago, because it's always market dependable as well, as in depending on where you are in the market. So the market's a big place, isn't it? So, you know, you've got million-pound cars, 400,000, 500,000-pound cars. And like I said, the supercar market has been losing money for quite a long period of time now. And that has continued to do so, apart from the last few months where it's stabled. But that's because of demand, obviously. I did say that I thought that prices would hold, and they did. I didn't expect them to go up like they did. But
what would you say has gone up?
Like everything, mate.
Really?
I'm still paying more money for cars now than when I was in January and February.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the
demand.
Demand is there. People are feeling rich.
And there's not just that. I mean, it has slowed off a bit. It's definitely slowed off a bit the last month or so. But used car stock always comes from new cars. Mm-hmm. It can't come from anywhere else. And there's no new cars. So, and people, because people are tightening their belts, you'd go and buy a brand new Range Rover and you'd think, oh, do you know what? I'll sacrifice that. I'm going to lose 30 grand in a year on that car. People go, I'll have a 2-year-old one and I won't lose a 30 grand.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I'll lose 10.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense. And just to sort of clarify, I said there people are feeling rich. I think, you know, especially coming out of the severest lockdown, people felt cash rich in the sense that they hadn't spent big money on holidays and hadn't been shopping, hadn't been out for dinners. So people felt like they had some flexible, you know, cash in the bank to go and spend, which again, maybe has sort of, you know, tailed off a bit. But I think you're right. People have become wiser to how they're spending their money too and being less frivolous.
Yeah, there's been three big drives for the motor trade for it being better than what it was. People not going on holiday, mm-hmm. obviously. People just not spending money in general and thinking, you know what, I'll upgrade to a new car. And whether we like this or not, the bounce back loans that all these businesses, I mean, that's been huge, especially in the higher end market, not the lower end market. That's been, oh, we're not going on holiday this year. £5,000 we've saved. We're going to upgrade our car. So they're part exchange one and they're just going to upgrade.
Sure.
But the supercar market and the sports car market.
Well, that's suddenly your deposit, isn't it? A lot of those bounce back loans, if you're getting 50 grand for the government, and you can be clever with your accountancy or whatever needs to be done, I don't really know, you can go and just chuck 50 grand at a Huracan Evo.
For sure. But then boring you all slightly again, the banks have readjusted their balloon payments. They've done that about four, because they've obviously reacted to the market. And that's good in a way, because long term, it's obviously protecting the consumers. So over the last few years, the balloon payments have been inflated on everything. So which is why you have negative equity after a couple of years, because you're not paying enough off the depreciation. You're not putting a big deposit in and your balloon payment is not realistic. So what they've done now is that they've adjusted that balloon payment by about 15% roughly. So your then monthly payment goes up, sure. But then when you want to come out in a couple of years, you're going to be the right way, because you're paying enough off the car every month to cover the depreciation and there's a little bit left for you. So the fact the banks have done that is a good thing. So cars have gone up, even normal cars like M2s and stuff that we sell loads off. The monthly payments are £80 to £120 a month more.
Okay.
But the balloon payments are a lot more realistic.
Sure. So it depends how you're coming into it. If you're literally looking at it going, I want to spend the least money per month, you're suddenly going to go, oh, that's a bit expensive now, how come? But actually, it's good in the grand, you know, you're protecting yourself in the grand scheme.
You're not
things.
Paying any more money essentially. Yeah. You're just paying the depreciation off. So if you're paying another 20, say for instance, 20 quid less a month than what you should be paying, but then you've got to pay $2,000 to get out at the end, you're still paying the same amount of money, mm-hmm. aren't you?
Of course.
But it's always better to pay that $2,000 over the course of 2 or 3 years because you don't notice it.
Makes life easier.
Yeah, but the way that these manufacturers and all these dealers have been getting people into cars is monthly payment.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cheap per month. No way I can do X, Y, and Z.
It's why I always say to people, I've always said it, and it's not because I'm a used car dealer, because I like to, you know, my business is run on being honest to people and transparent, and it's how it's always been. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I want to protect the used car segment of the business, but ultimately, you're safer in a used car because it doesn't depreciate as much.
Of course.
And you know, these manufacturers, they get you into cars at a low monthly payment. But you got.
They don't talk about the other end. They don't talk about the exit point. And this is actually a perfect time for me to plug an old episode we did with Magnitude Finance, with Tim from Magnitude, who of course support a lot of what I do and have helped me get in cars over the years, where he really explained a lot of this in detail and very succinctly, and the sort of, you know, the benefits, the negatives, the things to watch out for. So go and check that out. I think it's just Car Financing Explained. And also, if you sort of want to see proof from what Tony's saying or investigate what Tony's saying, Magnitude also have a brilliant finance calculator on their website. You can literally go and just play. It's quite a dangerous game to play. A bit like cruising auto trader. You can sit there and put in different numbers, different deposits, different cars, and see what the monthlies come out at. And of course, it's always worth going and speaking to them, giving them a call, dropping them an email for a more bespoke quote. But if you just want to have a little, you know, and look at things and peruse Tony's website and go, oh, that GTR looks like great value for money at under $100,000. I wonder how much it will be per month. You can combine the two in one internet session.
Yeah, we will always, as a dealer, we always try and think of the long game because we want people to come back.
Of course, so helps you, right?
For sure. So we've never done it, and we always try and put people into finance packages that we know that in 2 years, if they want to change their car and they come back, they're going to be the right way. Mm-hmm. We might be 10 quid dearer a month or whatever, but there's to be a reason for that.
Yeah.
Over the term, you're paying the same amount of money.
That's exactly it. I was given that advice by Tim from Magnitude very early on, actually with the F-Type, when I was at the time spending way more than I could afford. So I was chasing the lowest monthly pot as well. Kept harassing him, mate, can you bring the monthly down? And he just called me and explained exactly this and said, look, all you're doing is just delaying your pain. You know, you're going to be in a lot of trouble and you're going to say to me, oh, Tim, I want to buy a new car. And I'm going to say you're going to have to pay $10,000 to get out of the F-Type and you're going to cry. So, sensible advice. Some good consumer advice there, I think. Actually, that was quite intelligent of us, wasn't it? I mean, more impressed by you than me, but still, I think it was good, you know.
You know your stuff as well, mate. I mean, you've been around long enough now, you kind of...
I pretend to.
Yeah.
I have a crib sheet on my laptop, actually. Yeah, I'm just reading notes. anyway, moving on to some more news, I suppose, even though that was sort of relevant for today's agenda or topics. We got big news today because there was a new fastest car in the world.
Oh, I just saw this on Twitter.
The SSC Tuatara.
Who makes it?
SSC. SSC, though.
Who makes sofas? No. Them people?
SCS. No. SSC. I wish I knew more about SSC. I think it's, here we go, Shelby Supercars North America.
Oh, okay. Didn't they? Okay, fine. So
that makes more sense to you?
Well, not really.
No. But anyway, they've made this car, the Tuatara, which really, I think, set out with one particular goal, to get this fastest speed record. Now, we have to give it special mention because friend of the podcast, friend of ours, Ollie Webb, the insane man of Instagram, was the one behind the wheel for this high-speed run.
Did he?
You didn't know that?
No.
It was Ollie.
Oh, congrats, man.
Yeah, out in America and the speed. Do you know the speed?
3:31.
Yeah, so it's a bit PR-y, this.
Ah.
To set an official record, you have to go both ways, as Koenigsegg and Bugatti, etc. have done. So yes, going one way, they hit 331 miles an hour, which is insane, which is ridiculous. Ollie, you are insane because, I mean, that's just terrifying to think about essentially a closed public road. But on the way back, they hit 301. So that means it's an average 316. So that's the new record.
Is he going uphill on the way back?
No,
did he go back on his own brake?
But wind, think about wind, think about traction. There's a lot of different factors when you're going at those speeds which really play into it. But it smashes the 304.77 miles an hour set by the Chiron.
Oh, I'll tell you what actually happened. He's gone down there at 331 and he's thought, I'm not going back.
Yeah. No chance. Oh, 300's enough. Yeah. I mean, if you watch the footage, and you have to go and check this out, another good friend of mine is involved with the project, Buddy. Some of you may remember, Salamandrin fans may remember Buddy from that channel, also involved in this project. And some of the content of the run is unbelievable. And look, I'm going to come out and say it. I think the car's kind of hideous. I don't really see the point of these top speed runs apart from to say I've got the fastest car in the world, because there's nowhere in the world that you can hit that speed except that one road. For Koenigsegg fanboys, because I know you're out there, it's the exact same road that Koenigsegg got it when it was it like 284 that Koenigsegg did, I think. Okay. Same road. But yeah, so it's mightily impressive.
Unbelievable.
And considering that they are essentially unknown, we're sitting here going, who are SSC?
Yeah,
they've turned up and done it. That is insane. So huge congrats and bravo to them. I think we've got to get Ollie on the podcast.
Yeah, let's.
Because I want to just, what is it like to go 331 miles an hour? Like, that must be ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a kid on the way. He's mad.
Yeah, that might be what he was doing for him. Yeah. 30, but he's realised what parenting is.
Hoping to hit a crow coming the other way. But yeah, unbelievable. It'd be great to hear the story. And if you watch the reaction, you know, of them watching the speed and celebrating, it's pretty amazing. I'm just looking at the Top Gear article here. And Ollie, I know we could have gone faster.
Oh, no.
That's a quote from him. I know we could have gone faster. There was definitely more in there. And with better conditions, I know we could have gone faster. As I approached 331, the Tuatara climbed almost 20 miles an hour within the last 5 seconds. The crosswinds are all that prevented us from realizing the car's limits. I mean, what that? Okay, so here we go. 13 years ago, SSC stunned automotive nobility when it set the production car speed record by hitting 255, taking the title from Bugatti. So they've got history of doing this, of taking, especially Bugatti's records, but yeah, sort of being the fastest car in the world. I have to say that I don't think I've ever seen an SSC car ever. That's half of what I'm hinting or suggesting towards, but I also don't really care, because it's just cool, isn't it? Like, just, I just think it's cool, set out to do a thing and they've done it. Bravo, brilliant. Yeah, so cool to see him. We'll try and get Ollie on. He has been on this podcast before, actually. I think during Drive the World. But yeah, we'll get him on and have a chat. Another thing that has happened recently for us to reflect and review upon, Goodwood Speed Week.
Yes.
So this was in light of the fact that Festival of Speed and Revival could not take place this year because of hashtag COVID. Goodwood kind of combined the two and did this thing called Speed Week, which was actually just a weekend, at the motor circuit, not at the house. And it was really a combination of racing and some show runs with a paddock, but closed to the public and all live streamed on their YouTube channel.
And ITV.
And elements, but it would like highlights on ITV, right?
Yeah.
Sick. Which usually their Festival of Speed highlights somewhere, or there's something that goes out on like.
Yeah, is it somewhere. ITV4 or something? Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, let's not get caught up on which channels footage was going out.
Have you driven around Goodwood?
Yes. Unbelievably fast.
It is terrifying.
Yeah, unbelievably fast. And I also feel like I often forget the corners because they all kind of blend into one.
They do, yeah.
And there's only about six of them, but I especially that first section, I always forget, oh, then there's that sharp left. Oh, no. You know.
It's so fast, turn one. Fast. It's not funny, mate.
No.
They just barrel round.
They are hilarious.
Have you seen some of the times around this?
Yeah. Not only the time's insane, but like if you think of the cars that they are barreling around in. I mean, the circuit was kind of built to celebrate cars of that era and for that cars of that era. And to see them still hurtling down like flat out in 20 million pound whatevers, E-types. And
with no brakes. They don't work.
Mad. Did you watch much of it? Did you catch much of it?
So I caught bits of it. I saw the most, you know, the top speed run, you know, the one lap.
Of course, shootout.
The fastest lap shootout. There was a couple of lads that I follow in motor racing that actually done it. Harry King, who does the Porsche Carrera Cup.
Nice.
He is unbelievable. Like, you know, everyone that says he's going to be a factory driver, and he drove the cup car around.
Nice.
like drove the wheels off him. Yeah. Like, honestly, mate, yeah. Like, yeah, I think he's only been around there four or five times before, and he's absolutely
mentalist.
He's special.
Like, okay, he's nice,
unbelievable. And there was a few others as well. And did you see the F1 car as well?
Of course, yeah, F1 cars are mega.
Unbelievable.
Did the Esteban Ocon drifting freaking out of the last corner?
Mate, honestly, yeah, can you imagine, cool. Mate? We were saying, can you imagine a modern F1 car going around there?
No, but it did. I mean, they did. They did the show runs. They had the Mercedes 2000 and... Oh, you mean like literally this year, like all the downfalls.
Because they're not allowed, are they? Because it's not an FIA...
Yeah, yeah. Grade, whatever. I can't remember what grade they give them for the tracks.
Because if you go off at Goodwood fast, you're
oh, you're dead.
It's air ambulance. I mean, you're in big trouble.
But it's like... what track did they show me recently? Obviously, we're going to Algarve this weekend for F1. And then we've got Imola still to come. We've got Turkey. And obviously, chatting to old Charles Leclerc. Bit of a plug there for a previous episode.
Your mate.
He was saying that, you know, so these corners now, which have been great, great corners, are now just nothingness.
Okay.
And Mugello is impressive because the high speed stuff was so high speed that they were putting like 7G in some situations.
It's mad.
So it's a completely different thing. You're not looking at it going like, how do I get myself around that corner? It's like, can I hold on whilst this car just glues itself? And
it's unbelievable, the speed. And that's why I watch F1, because it can be boring sometimes. Yeah. Well, most of the time it's boring, but you cannot comprehend how fast they are, mate.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought Speed Week... I'll be honest, I struggled a bit. I mean, they still did the Michelin Supercar Paddock, which I was like,
why?
Strange.
There's no one there.
No one there. And they did do some demonstration runs. McLaren unveiled. Not a new car, but, you know, a special edition. Golf livery on the Elva, which they made a big deal about. I got an email in my inbox.
Good.
Special golf. I was like, wow.
Delete.
The Yaris GR4 thing its debut.
Three-cylinder.
Unbelievable. What a dream. Still don't know anything about it. I've watched one 27-minute video of a Japanese man who's taking delivery of it in Japan.
Really?
It's brilliant. He has a fixed camera looking forward and he goes, in comparison to the Civic. And that's how it goes on for 27 minutes. It's kind of brilliant. I love it. So I still want to know more about that car. What else was there? Something. The Lotus Evija. A dynamic debut. The 2,000 horsepower EV that you don't care about.
The electric car.
Yeah, dynamic. Looked nuts. Looked insane.
No, I think I saw that car.
Yeah, in the JPS black and gold livery.
Yeah, I think so cool.
So like, there were elements, but I enjoyed watching a few clips on YouTube. Do you know what I mean? I didn't watch the live stream or something like that. And it didn't make me think.
Did you watch any of the
races? No.
Okay.
Because when I go to Revival, like, again, I like seeing like some of the action, but I'm not sitting there like watching every single race.
You didn't see the mini roll?
No. The mini roll.
I mean, went into turn one just a bit too fast. Come out on his roof. Like he's on his roof.
We've all been there. I love Goodwood. I don't want it to go anywhere. And it was an impressive thing that they did to get it all together and all the cars and all the races. It just made me sad, made me want to actually be there. Really.
I wonder if we'll have Fresh 4 Speed next year. I mean...
Still so many question marks, right?
Everything, yeah. Can't plan nothing.
Keep our fingers crossed. Okay, well, look, let's get into the meet and greet of today's episode. Meet and greet? The meat and grit.
Okay, the meat and grit.
You can tell it's towards the end of the day. My coffee, my 14th coffee is wearing off.
God.
Which is to basically discuss three cars that we think, or I think and you think, are overrated. And this came to my mind actually after last week's episode because somebody kept tweeting me asking me if I'd driven a specific car and I was just like, I'm not fussed about that car.
Okay.
And so I thought that's a controversial thing to say. So I'm going to name three cars that I think are overrated and we will discuss each of them. And then you're going to name three cars that you think are overrated. Now, just to remind people, everyone is allowed their own opinion.
Before you start going, we are
going to disagree. I'm going to disagree with Tony. He's going to disagree with me. And we will both disagree with a lot of you. So feel free to rant and vent and tell us why we're wrong. I would love to hear your opinions. But no one is wrong. Can I just say that? Like, no one here between you and I or on the viewers is wrong.
Well, I'm going to wait and see what you say first. I mean, you might be wrong, but...
Should we go one each rather than three?
Yeah, I think we should. And get in the comments of what your most underrated cars are.
Overrated.
Overrated.
Underrated will be another episode. Yeah.
We'll do that next time.
Yeah, we'll do that next week.
We'll drag it right out.
Because I did actually see that, I think it was last week or a couple of weeks ago, people were saying, why are you guys now so negative about cars? It's just the fact that we spend so much time around them.
Of course.
And it's also easier to be rude about things than it is to... Because if something's great, it's great.
Well, you don't watch EastEnders because of the happiness. Watch it for all the drama.
What a great analogy.
Yeah.
I mean, you smashed that. But we do still love cars. Don't get us wrong. But it's just fun to talk about the things that we don't like.
Yeah.
But we will try and also be positive at times. We'll try our best. So I will kick things off. And I actually think you're not going to disagree with me here. But I'll be interested to see what you say. My first most overrated sports car.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Is the Aston Martin DBS Superleggera?
I mean, it is a good car, by the way, but you are right.
I feel like, based off some of the initial imagery, and then maybe some of the initial press drives, the world decided that that car was amazing.
Oh, DBS Superleggera. Oh, my God. Have you ever seen a DBS?
I don't know who I'm impersonating. Probably Paul Wallace. But fundamentally, I had a go in one in Monterey last year in California. And I was so disappointed, probably because of the hype. Because people said, oh, DBS is so good. Oh, have you driven a DBS? It's amazing. No, well... I think it does look good. I actually think the standard DB11 looks better.
No, I like the look of the DBS.
Oh, but do you not think it's very spec dependent? So I've seen some dodgy specs that have just looked...
Yeah, there's a blue that's really nice.
I think the back is fussy.
Yeah, no, I do like the look of it, but I'm not keen on the car. If I had to choose, and I remember when they released that car... Or when I first saw it, I was at the F1 Grand Prix at Silverstone.
Okay, show off.
And the man was trying to tell us...
who was that? Daniel Ricciardo from Red Bull Racing.
No, yeah. The man at the hospitality. The head of marketing at Aston.
Casual breath.
And then he saw me walk in and his world was going to end.
He's literally, colour just drained out of his face.
He's trying to tell all these people how special it is and it's similar money to an 812. And
similar talk, right? That's the whole thing that they make it. Or more talk, is that like... No, but there is something in it that they make a big deal about. Yeah, that's like, you know,
80 to 90 mile an hour. That's like it. One second.
Yeah, yeah. It's like 80 to 120. It's quicker than an 812. So that's 812, it. Something like that.
Yeah. The fact is, Aston, not Ferrari, first of all. And he said to me that it's a very special car. It will hold its money. And at that point, I honestly just laughed and walked off. I'm ever so sorry if
classic
you watch
this. Ruining that poor man's day.
I said, proof will be in the pudding. I bet you they lose 100 grand in the first year. And lo and behold, they have.
They have. And the problem was for me is there's a nice... Yes, okay, fine. I will accept it looks good. And I see that it does look mean. I don't like the back for some reason. I think it's fiddly. And I do think it's spec dependent. And I think the DB11's got cleaner line. Anyway, but to drive, whilst it is a bit more sort of than a DB11, it wasn't inherently sort of any more special or aggressive. Like, and I did have a bit of a go. I had bloody Merrick Reitman, the bloody chief designer, like in with me, and he was telling me through all the how to get the most out of it and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, yeah, nice.
I don't think it sounds that good either.
I don't think it sounds that good.
No.
I still don't like that gearbox. It's always a bit soft for some reason. Like
ZF.
Yeah, it just doesn't have the... And and it is really going up against an 812 Superfast or even an F12, I don't think it has...
No.
It's not, it feels more Vanquish S than it does.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I just found it a letdown, but I feel like it's the car that a lot of people cry out for me to go and drive and film. But I'm now like, oh, I don't think I've got anything to say about it. Like, if I film it, I'm going to be like, yes.
I would say they're good value now. I mean, they're 150, 160 grand. I mean, that is a lot of car for the money. When you think when they went up with an 812 and an 812 still 80 or 90 grand more. So is it 80 or 90 grand less of a car?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to say something so punchy. For that money, I would have a manual V12 Vantage S.
Right.
The old shape. It's just inherently more special.
Okay.
He's biting his tongue so much. It's a separate conversation for another topic. Yeah. Well, I mean, no, it's not actually. I mean,
because he could go in on me.
Yeah. You haven't even said anything. But this is my point: is that I think I get from an Instagram point of view why people think the DBS is lovely, but I do think that there's a lot of misplaced hype around the actual car and the way it drives, and I just think, if you want a special Aston V12 experience, a manual firstly, even just to go back to, well, I said Vanquish S, but even to go to bloody James's DBS, JWWs, like that's already a more engaging experience.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, you're up. Now that you actually weren't that mean, but now you're up. So numero uno, what is your first most overrated sports car?
People are going to absolutely finish me off. A Lamborghini Aventador.
Oh, you have just ended this podcast. SVJ as well. Oh my God, the unsubscriptions that we are going to have off the back of this.
Mate, it is an absolute pile of poo. Oh. Honestly. No,
okay, but hold on. So I think we've been quite vocal in the past about...
I can back this up, by the way.
I know you can. You've been plotting it for months. We've both spoken about how the Aventadors, they are a bit, cumbersome and gearboxes are crap and, but you cannot get away from the fact they are the poster car of this generation. Anyone who is anyone thinks that they want an Aventador until they've experienced one.
Until
you drive one. And even some people drive them and still hang on to them. But, and the SVJ is the ultimate version. And when you're in it, is it really going to let you down? Probably.
Yes. Yeah. Mate, it is an absolute... So when we was away, we had one with us.
Okay.
And it was brand spanking new. It had done 20 miles. It was a brand new car. It was a Spider.
Yeah. Or, so what do they call it? SVJ Roadster?
Roadster.
Yeah.
Roadster. So... We cousin picks it up the lorry, gets it off the lorry, lovely. Oh, it looks amazing.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, it's going to be great. Sam,
this is great. So,
ultimate version of the Aventador. Go on. Yeah.
Take your roof off. Okay. Yeah. You take 15 minutes, get your roof off, put it in the thing. What are you going to do with your luggage? Can you take it? Well, I've got no room because all my luggage is in my car. So,
No, but do you buy an Aventador for luggage?
Well, he did. He was in Italy.
Right, yeah, he's got to piss back somewhere, so hasn't he? Yeah, fair.
You can't have a lorry go round with you as well. I mean, you've got to have some luggage. You can't put a pencil case in there if the roof's in there, right? So that's one thing. Okay. So he gets going. They do 4 to the gallon. I mean, that you have to stop every 15 minutes to put fuel in the stupid thing. It's not fast. It does make a nice noise and it looks really good on the road.
Yeah.
But it's not fast. It's annoying. It doesn't drive very well. It's got a stupid gearbox in it. And we got lost.
Okay.
And it overheated.
No.
we got lost down this gravel road. And to be fair, this road was horrendous.
A gravel wood road?
No. It was terrible, this road.
Disaster.
It was a real...
Yeah. Not somewhere for an SVJ.
Not somewhere for a Land Rover.
Okay. Amazing.
This road. So anyway, we decided to go down it. It was actually quite funny, actually. We decided to go down this road. It was 1.5 mile kilometer, this road. Okay. I'm going off topic slightly, but I've got to...
No, go for it, yeah.
And anyway, we're going to get to the end of the road. We're going to be on an amazing road, boys. So we're just going to get to the end of this road. So we get to the end of this road. There's a river.
Oh, no. Like a ford that you have to cross.
Like a ford. There's a bridge.
Oh, my God.
So we all get to the bridge. The bridge length is 1.9 metres.
The width.
we had two Porsches with us. They just about got through. So then obviously me, there's a pistol in the SVJ. So the bloke in the SVJ's got his hand in his head. He said, "I'm not going to get through there."
No.
And I said, "I don't think I'm going
to
get
through." 4 metres wide in the SVJ. Yes.
Oh, so I've had a go. I've tried to go and I couldn't get through, so there was no point trying the SVJ. So we had to reverse.
You in the Jumeirah, the Koenigsegg?
The prototype. Yeah. They lent it to me, Just go one on. Of the cars that I've got coming. Don't love it about.
Go on.
And then, so we've had to go back up this road. The car beached itself. It got stuck as well. Then, because we had to get it back off. Okay, this is an unmade road, but
I was gonna say I don't think it's somewhere destined for the SVJ.
No, but there was other problems that I could spend a whole episode talking
about. Sure.
But the Ferraris were fine, by the way. They went up and back, they were as good as gold. And it then overheated, and the guy that was driving it, I'm not gonna mention his name because he's not interested, but he was like there was like flames. It was like Paul Wallace's car. There was like bellows of smoke coming out. The clutch was overheating. The car just overheated. We had to wait for the car. I mean, it's a disaster.
Okay, but that is a very unique situation where I don't think you can. I mean, you can blame the SVJ, but like that's a freak scenario. All the other things you mentioned, I think people expect with an Aventador. I don't think it's overrated because I think people know what they're getting into right now. Like, people know it's going to be kind of awful to drive. People know it's going to be impractical. People know it's going to be thirsty on fuel. They still want it.
You pay 400 odd thousand pounds.
He's not giving up.
For some inconvenience.
He's not giving up.
Just to say, I've got a convertible Lamborghini, which isn't that fast. It's not very good on fuel. You can't put anything in it. It doesn't drive very well. Would you like me to carry on?
Okay, I'll let you have it. I think I might disagree. But I'll let you have it because as a car in general...
It's terrible.
But I don't think the Aventador's over... Oh, tricky word. I'll let people go in on you.
It's got the Nürburgring... Or it had the Nürburgring... I don't know how, but it had the Nürburgring record. People were jumping up and down like it was the best thing since... It's the brakes overheat. I mean, you lose your brakes. Mate, it's not a thing.
But okay, I'm just gonna leave. I don't know where to start. I'm tired of fighting the SVJ's corner. I'll just let you have it. Okay. Anything else you want to get off your chest? I feel like you're all steamed up there with that SVJ.
No, I'll just wait for you to start again and I'll go back in.
Right, I'll move on to number two, shall I?
Go.
Audi.
Really?
RS6.
Oh, you idiot. Are you serious?
No, I'm sticking with it. Obviously, let's not count the new one because I haven't driven it.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the new one.
No, I'm talking about the old one. Because, and I'm in the generation just before, what would it be?
You're going to upset even more people.
I know, thank God.
Oh my God.
I don't even know what C it is. Is it C5?
C8.
C8, thank you. Just bore off with your arm. It's the best daily in the world.
Well, it was then.
No, it wasn't.
So what was better than it then?
Ride was bumpy. Crap on fuel. I don't like how it sounded. Everyone said it sounds so good.
I mean, it did make that noise.
It made that noise. Infotainment system was weak. Even the later generations, it was just annoying. Didn't like the interior design. And the problem was, if you had one, everyone, it's got an RS6. And most people drove them at 20 miles an hour.
But I cannot believe what I'm hearing.
I've never liked that car.
I know. There's quite a lot of cars that I know you've never liked and I can't get my head around it. And this is one of them. I mean...
Don't get it. I don't get the hype. Like, bore off. Like, and especially the money. That was the other thing. Okay, fine. Now they're sort of a bargain at 35, I suppose. But when they were like 60, 70, 80 grand, I was like, what are you doing with your life? Like, you could get two amazing cars for that money.
No, I mean,
there are better dailies.
I cannot agree. I mean, it's back then when that car came out in 2013, the infotainment system was fine then. It was 7 years
ago. It's huge.
Yes, but they were all huge then. Look at the BMW and the Mercedes infotainment system in 2013. It was terrible.
Okay, yeah, that was probably a silly thing to go in on, but I personally didn't like it.
And so the Land Rover system in 2013.
I'm allowed to be rude about it because I didn't enjoy it. but the car is so big. Oh, it's the ultimate
daily.
Not if you want to park in London. Get an RS4. Get an RS3. That's the ultimate daily.
It's the same length as a Range Rover.
That's huge. Do you know how big a Range Rover is?
Yes, I do. I know exactly how big a Range Rover is, thank you.
But this whole talk of it's the ultimate because it's an RS and it's a driver's car that I could put my dogs in.
No, it's not a driver's car.
Get an FF. but you just picked up on something there. It's not a driver's car.
It's not a driver's
car. That's what I mean. Everyone hogs at RS is the best thing. It's so good to drive. No.
It is good to drive, but it's not a driver's car. But it is good to drive.
What, in a straight line?
Yeah, it's a wafter, isn't it? It's like a fast wafter.
But then there's no, because the ride was too hard always.
Well, I didn't think it was hard.
Oh, I found it so suspension. Annoying. Oh, I found it bumpy.
Oh. I mean, I just think you're just picking on something for the sake of it. It was a great car.
Just to stir things up.
Yeah.
It's definitely a personal taste. And I think, do you know why, if I'm honest, okay, so like, cut the crap for a second, because people really will be knocking at my door with a...
are going to absolutely finish me off.
There's going to be torches and what they call pitchforks. I'm coming to get you guys. So yeah, to be realistic and honest about it, I think I had bad experiences either in cars that were driven by sort of old men that weren't enjoying them. And then I was like, well, this is pointless. Why have you spent all this money on an RS6? You should just be in an A6 diesel. Or the slightly over-modified Miltech exhaust 3000 horsepower cars. And then they really annoyed me. So I think my initial experiences when I got into RS6s, I was always a bit like, oh, just no. And then everyone would have them, RS6, RS6. No one was creative. No one ever went out of the, got something else. Like, what should I get? I've got $100,000 debt. Oh, I got an RS6. Like, come on, be a bit more, get
they
something different.
They got an RS6, it was the best one.
Maybe, but I think it also, because it was just like the sucker's choice.
Yeah, it looked the best as well.
Mm. Anyway, this is my two cents. I know it's a fan favorite. I know people are going to be so upset, but I just, the way I feel, I am more intrigued by the new one. I think the new one looks good. So
you
maybe
drive
it was just
when I got one in stock.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, come and have a go.
You can, yeah.
Thank you. So yeah, maybe just down to personal experience, but I'm going to say it. I just personally feel like the previous generation RS6 overrated.
I mean, and you have been consistent because you have always said that, to be fair. Mm-hmm. Even when I've said it, I think we've done a daily series once and I said, just get an RS6. You said, absolutely not.
Kill me now. Okay. Ball's back in your court, bro. Bring it.
Porsche.
No.
Taycan.
Oh, no. Get out. Leave.
Mate.
Why? No. No. Disqualified.
Okay. So have you turned me off?
I'm tempted to. I'm looking at the soundboard going, how do I mute you? No.
It's done plugged me there. No.
So, go on.
So, mate. So...
If you start talking about range, I'm going to punch you.
No, not talking about range. I drove it the other day at length to remind myself.
4S, turbo, turbo S?
Turbo.
Okay.
Turbo, yeah. So the only nice thing I can say about that car is that it the way it drives, it does drive like a Porsche.
Agreed.
Everything else... I just cannot get my head around it, mate. Like, I don't know, maybe I just got petrol running through my brains and I just...
So are you unhappy about the EV side of the Taycan?
No, the car, mate. Like, it's overhyped. Like, I don't think it's as good... like I said, I am the biggest Porsche fan. Honestly, I don't really know many people that bang on about Porsche more than...
No, fair.
But I just cannot get my head around that car. It's $150,000.
Right.
Which is a lot.
A ton.
It's a huge amount of money.
Sure.
It is built properly and it does drive okay. But Porsche's about emotion and how it makes you feel.
You didn't get any emotion out of that car?
Absolutely none.
Really?
None.
Even, you put the sound module on?
Yeah.
You launched it?
Mate, it's annoying.
You drove it fast?
Yes. That bonging noise that comes out of it. Yeah. And then that bonging noise goes after a certain amount of speed. It's not as loud. Do you know what as well? Like,
because you get a lot of tyre noise.
Yeah. Like a Porsche's like about downshifting and upshift. I mean, you just hold a steering wheel. Yeah, it's fast. It's really fast. But like we had this with the Tesla a few years ago. Well, that gets a bit boring after a while.
Yeah, but I think you're slightly going in on the EV factor. I think you're slightly attacking the fact it's an electric car. I think
that's what it is.
No, of course, but you're not. So the reason that I think the Taycan is hyped and the reason that I adore it is that I think of all the EVs, it's the first EV that I've gotten that I could see myself wanting to own, in the sense that, you're right, it still feels like a Porsche. It does still inherently feel like a Porsche. Okay, maybe it doesn't have all the emotion and character of a Porsche, but it does somehow still feel like a Porsche. I really like the interior. I like the simplicity of it. I think it's futuristic. It looks, okay, now you can start to see some 992 elements, but when it came out, it looked and felt different to other Porsches in the range. I like the size of it. I like the fact it's more compact than a Panamera. So I like that it's, you know, small and movable.
It's not that much smaller than the Panamera, though, you know.
No, but it's a bit, like, it's enough. It's enough. And when you're in it, it feels a little bit smaller, I think, and better on the road. I like the way it looks. I like the specs and things you can do. I like the fact they have incorporated the noise. But I think one of the main reasons I'm excited is if this is Porsche's first attempt at an electric vehicle, the future is bright. The future is orange.
So,
do you see what I'm saying?
I do see what you're saying. And I have absolutely no doubt that the Porsche Taycan is the best available electric car on the market at the moment.
Right.
No.
So why is it overrated?
But the car, if you think of the car.
But I think what you're attacking is you don't like driving electric cars.
No, I don't. Well, that's an electric car.
But you've just countered your argument. I'm not letting you get away with this.
No.
Because you just said the Taycan is the best electric car on the market. Therefore,
if you want an electric car, it's not overrated.
It's not overhyped because it is the best electric car. I agree. It does not compete with a petrol car, nor is it trying to.
Okay.
It is an electric vehicle and it is the best electric vehicle. Yes, Tesla fanboys. It's the best
electric vehicle. I can sum it up very easy.
Go on.
It is the best electric car.
Yeah.
But it's not the best car. It's not.
No.
It's not. I don't even really see it as a car. Like it's
oh my God.
Mate, honestly, I just cannot get my head around it. Like,
okay, so I think what you're trying to say, and maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, so stop me if I am, is that you don't get people who say, I'm gonna swap my E63S for a Taycan. That's what you don't get?
Yeah, like that no, hype. I just don't get the whole like, yeah, it's the best. Like people are like, okay, so you have one of them or you have a new 992 Turbo S. I'm gonna have a 992 Turbo S all day long.
But what if you wanted, first if you had the infrastructure in your house or your driveway, a daily, and you wanted an EV, you wanted to make that switch, you wanted an electric vehicle, you wanted to do it, and you were looking at a Tesla, you were looking at an Audi e-tron, a Mercedes EQ, and a Porsche, all at the top specs, because then e-tron's not cheap.
No, but they're not 150 grand. But yeah, I'd always say Porsche because it's my brand.
But it's also a great, it is a great car. It is a great car.
No, okay, fine. It's a good electric car.
Yes.
It's not a great car.
Yes, fine. But no, I would say it's a great electric car.
Yeah, but it's not a great car. No. That's
got an electric car problem. This is what it is. You're attacking the fact it's an EV.
So, okay, fine. Because I've got an electric car problem because Porsche is all about emotion and the way it makes you feel. And I've had plenty of them and I just didn't get that. When I drove it, I just thought, what is this?
See, that's what's so weird because I would say it's really the first EV that I've gotten and that has given me a sense of something. I felt connected to the Porsche of the history. I was excited about Porsche of the future. I enjoyed driving fast, even not like flat out fast, just on B road quick. I also enjoyed cruising around town in comfort, in elegance, in a Porsche. Like I still got a sense of like, oh, this feels premium. This feels good. Like I got something where in that Audi e-tron, I could have been in any electric vehicle. It was good, but it could have been anything.
But that's because it is a Porsche. Like there will be that element of that driving sensation that they've built into it. But It's honestly, mate, I it's not for me. Like,
fair enough. Hey, so hey, as we said at the beginning, each to their own.
Yeah.
I so strongly disagree, but each to their own. Yeah. Now, we, as was predicted, we've been arguing so much that we are slightly running out of time. So the third and final selection for each of us, we'll try and do quickly. Mainly because, I'll be honest, I actually struggled to think of a third. Because we try to do this as more sort of sports cards, because I don't want to sit here and be like, the golf, because that really would be a whole hour episode.
The golf's the best.
I know, that's what I mean. I was joking. Do not start. So from my side, if we were widening it slightly, I would have said the G-Wagon. I'd say it's G63. But we're going to try and keep this sports car-ish.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, oh, this is good. Let's keep this brief. BMW M2.
Mate, you...
I don't even want to have to justify myself. I just want to say that and leave. I just want to go, bye.
You said nice things about that car.
Hey, I like it. Don't get me wrong. I like it. I think it's really good. I don't understand the hype. Because I think, because of its price point, because of the BMW financing offers, because of a lot, people obsess over that. It's like, that's all I want. That is my first sports car. And maybe it is. It's attainable, achievable. And I don't think it's that good. I think it's a good little BMW M car. I like it.
Are you talking about a comp or non-comp?
Probably comp. Maybe okay. That's what's more on the road these days. I just think there seems to be everyone I speak to who maybe is in I don't know what, help me out here, a Golf GTI or a S3 or an Abarth or whatever, and they're thinking of making that step up. They all want M2s. Everyone wants M2s.
Cheap.
Rear drive. Like, yeah, yeah. BMW. But actually, I don't think it's that. I think it's good, but I think it's that good. At that price point as well, 50 grand, like Alpine A110, Jaguar F-Type, Cayman. Like, there's so much in that. M4, fine. Like, Audi, no, not so much. Anyway, but you know, there's a lot in there.
C63,
A45, like all these, all this, such a range. Julia, everyone defaults Alpha to M2. Julia. Oh my God, Alpha, Julia, there you go. Thank you. So I'm going to draw a line up there because I don't want to spend 3 hours trying to defend myself. But that's it. I get it. I like it. But I think it's a bit like with the RS6, people just default to the M2 without proper reason.
No, I disagree with you. I think it's a great little car. It's a cracking car.
Fair enough. On to yours. Because
I would leave that there. I actually think you're going to agree with me.
Oh, okay, go on.
The Nissan GTR.
I mean, we have lost a lot of people with this show. People already hate
Mate,
us.
That is a awful
Oh,
car.
My, you've just dug a hole. That's even a bigger... I thought you can say it's just overrated, but to say it's an awful car?
Are you serious? Have you sat... Oh, well, you have sat in one.
I have.
You've driven one?
I've driven one, and I've been in a passenger in one, and I've never experienced a Nismo. Anyway, I would definitely say it's different to what I was expecting. But I did step away and say that at 30-odd grand... Is that what used ones are? 35?
Yeah. So you got to fix them.
What a car though for the tuner. Like, I think it represents a great proposition. Like, supercar quick. It is supercar quick.
Not anymore.
I think it is supercar
quick. It
was
when it came out. It's not that
with a little bit of a tune. It feels quick. I'm sorry. To go into that M2 argument for a second, even if you're stepping from an M2 into a GTR, but if you are going from like Golf GTI or whatever, you're looking to step up at 35, 40 grand, that GTR is going to feel unbelievably fast, and then literally you pay 100 quid and you can make it even faster. I think it's nice, like, thank you. I get why people buy into it because it's so tunable and so accessible and relatively cheap and
not cheap when it goes wrong.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it is an absolute get your checkbook out moment. If you buy a 35 grand one of them that's been tuned, the best of luck to you.
Also, you remember when a few years ago Burberry started to fall into the wrong hands? You know, and Burberry had a bit of a PR crisis.
Yeah.
Because the wrong kind of people were wearing Burberry.
Yeah. Bit like Lamborghini.
Okay. Well, I think the GTR suffers from that every now and again.
Yeah.
I think it's sometimes...
It is honestly, like, people bang on about how fast they are. And
mate, it is quick.
No.
It is quick.
Mate, a standard GTR, they are not fast anymore.
I disagree. That's
really?
Quick, yeah.
Okay.
It's a quick car.
So it's the same money as a... It's basically the same money as a new M5 comp.
No, I never...
I mean, go away. It is not... it's like 10 years old inside.
I think the hype is for the used cars. I think you're mad if you go and buy one new. I do think you're mad if you go and buy one new.
I mean, you drive down a road and flames come out the back. I mean, you pull up to a bird and the car's on fire. I mean, that's... how do you explain that? I mean, the dad's going to kick shit out of you.
Oh, my God. Right, well, we're going to leave it there because I think it's too controversial. We have literally just ruined... Three or maybe four, no, four probably with you. DBS, I think I'd get away with. Anyway, we've ruined a lot of people's favourites cars. So,
do you think?
Yeah, 100%. It's going to be controversial, but we want to know your guys' thoughts. Firstly, feel free to correct us if you think we're wrong, but also let us know below, as Tony said, what do you think?
Don't be rude.
No, don't be rude. No. And don't be rude to each other. We never like fighting in the comment section. That's so 2010.
Because we do check.
We check everything, don't we? Yeah. We keep an eye on all the comments. Sorry if we don't get back to many of you, but we try and at least take it all in. So yes, I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. If you want to support the podcast, get involved with the podcast. By the way, sorry, just a quick shout out for the patrons. I did send some message to those of you that can be on the podcast, trying to find someone to join us for today's episode to weigh in on this debate. And no one got back to me. So if you are of that tier, the top tier, make sure that you're checking your emails and your Patreon messages. We'll try again next week to get a
patron. Hey, you want to go in on someone?
No. No, we want to have a nice chat. So yeah, so keep an eye out. Next week, we'll try and get somebody to come on and join us. Maybe in the new studio. I don't know. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Make sure to stay subscribed if you're watching on YouTube. Make sure to keep following if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. And we'll catch up with you very soon, won't we? Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.